Talking about that, then, other characters, the Green Woman. Who is the Green Woman?
Oh, well, just as there's a Green Man, and as I say, he is the sort of representative of nature, if you like. Yeah. He's nature personified. There are far less green women, but they are to be found. And if you look around in any of the old churches, you'll often find these carvings right up in the roof where, in fact, wouldn't have been very easy to see until more recent times with electric light. But they're all hidden away up there as though they're looking down on us, you know, looking down on all the little folk in the pews underneath, you know, and keeping an eye on them. But really representing the greenness, the wildness, the natural world.
And the green dancers as well.
Well, the green dancers are the fairy races that also were considered to be absolutely real by our medieval ancestors. You know, if you talked about fairies to anyone living in the time of Robin Hood, whenever it was, that is, somewhere between the 12th to the 14th century, you know, no one would have said, oh, fairies, those are nonsense, they don't exist. Mm. Most people would have believed in them. And they wear green, and they dance in the woods and on the hills and so on. And a lot of the characteristics are shared by the characteristics of Robin and his men.
It's fascinating stuff. And as you're talking there, I've got a four-year-old daughter, and some of the programs she watches on CBeebies and so on, there's one in particular called Ben and Holly's Magic Kingdom, and they've got fairies. They're still there today, you know, in our modern world, fairies in there. They've got all the kind of mythology, you know, the creatures of the forest in there as well. And so it never goes away in many respects.
It really doesn't. I mean, there are actually two new movies, and I believe at least one, if not more, TV shows coming on Robin Hood very soon. They're all in the process of being made at the moment. And, of course, the Great Robin of Sherwood series that many of us will remember still goes on being repeated, I'm glad to say. My good friend Mark Ryan, who played Nazir in that series, very kindly wrote a preface for the book. And he grew up, you know, very close to Sherwood, coming from Doncaster. So, you know, it's all those stories keep coming back, you know. They never really go away for long.
There's always that little debate between Doncaster and Nottingham, though, isn't there, as well?
Oh, there is, yes. He's ours? No, he's not. He's ours, you know. Yes, the fights are broken out over that, especially outside the pub.
where does Maid Marian come from? What's the origins there?
Well, there are a couple of possibilities for that. One is that there are these series of French little plays, if you like, almost. They're a bit like the mumming plays, where you have shepherds and shepherdesses who always have romantic engagements. And a lot of them are called Robin and Marianne. So you get the French, you get these French characters who then were transposed over to Britain. And beyond that, perhaps, echoes of the sort of maidens of Maytime and springtime who represented the ancient goddesses of the land. There's a lot of that wonderful old pagan tradition that runs right through these stories.
He put some lovely stuff in here, and also, of course, the ballads of Robin Hood. We were talking about the time to sing there in that older song, but is there any truth in that?
Well, I'm sure they did sing. I mean, there were certainly minstrels at that time who were very popular and moved around the country going from place to place. And, of course, most of what we do know about Robin, and it's very little really, comes from the ballads, which is why I wanted to put as many as I could into the book. And I ended up managing to find, I think, just about every one that still exists, about 100 of them, and put them all in there. And if you read them carefully, you know, you can see lots of references to, you know, to the magic, to the power of the land, to the wild woods and all of that. It's all in there.
So what sort of conclusion do you come away with? Is it a fact that this has actually evolved into the legend that we have today, which is part of what we like to watch on television, what we like to read? Maybe it fulfills some psychological need in the 21st century to have a hero. What would you say about that? It just all seems to come together for what we want now.
Well, I think it's always been the case, hasn't it, that we need or want people who look after the poor, the you know, the neglected, the downtrodden, you know, the man in the street, if you like, the man and the woman in the street who need help sometimes against the powers. You know, this is why Robin Hood, for instance, is very, very popular in Russia. Right. You know, during the communist regime, he was one of the people's heroes. And I think in a different way, he's a people's hero for us. And you know, there's always something about that, that sense of freedom. You get away into the forest, you escape all the bad guys, and you have power there, and you have strength, and you have independence, and that's what we all want.
But what I'm trying to get my head around is, why did all these characters come in? Why did we need... Was it almost just to fulfil the story and to make... Because I don't believe for one minute that maybe his name was even Robin Hood, if there ever was one, and these characters weren't with him, and yet somehow it's all come about.
I think all of these ancient stories, whether they're the myths of King Arthur or the Grail or Robin Hood or Harry with the Wake or any of these great characters, they fulfill a need for these ancient stories that tell us something about our relationship with the world.
Yeah.
And in this case, maybe it's about our relationship with the wildwood and with the wild world, you know. I mean, we're so sort of locked away in our cities most of the time. And, you know, unless we're lucky, we don't necessarily live in the countryside or even visit it that often. But I think we still have a longing for that inside us. And these kind of stories, you know, keep that alive.
Yeah, well, it's a fascinating book, it really is. It's called Robin Hood, The Green Lord of Wild Wood by John Matthews. It's available now, is it, John?
It is indeed, yes.
So those listening in Spain to us this afternoon can get it online, I assume. Is it an e-book yet? Or?
There is an e-book version. Otherwise, it's a rather handsome hardback with lots of pictures in it and all the ballads, and it retails at £20, which is a bit hefty, but it's a hardback. It's beautifully produced, and as you said, kindly, lots of good stuff in it.
It sounds fantastic, and of course with my intelligent levels, in fact it's got pictures and it makes it even more interesting for me.
I'm sure you can manage the words as well.
Thank you, John. Bless you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. Cheers. Bye. TRE Talk Radio Europe.